I want to ask you about your party's Ardesh, which is underway online this week. There's some material being trailed in the newspapers today about what the Taoiseach, your party leader, Leo Varadkar, is likely to say in his leader's address this evening. And the reports suggest that he will propose that the health service should keep the additional €4 billion allocated during the pandemic for emergency spending and other spending in last year's budget. That would be an unprecedented increase in health spending. Isn't he effectively, though, saying that we'll have to keep borrowing for another few years? Because when you add that health spending to the commitments on tax changes, to the MICA scheme, to the corporation tax losses, and to the redress scheme, I mean, you'd wonder where all that money is going to come from.
Well, it has to come from economic growth. I mean, that's where it has to come from. I mean, unlike other parties, Fine Gael doesn't propose more and more and more spending without actually a credible plan as to how we create the wealth to do that. It's because of that thinking that the Irish government has been able to borrow very large sums of money at very low cost to be able to respond to COVID because of Fine Gael's management of the economy for a decade or so. And we will continue to provide that kind of economic management, I hope, into the future, where we want to be able to spend more money, to be able to provide essential public services, particularly in healthcare post-COVID, because we are going to have enormous pressures in a post-COVID world where everything from mental health to family breakdown to a whole series of issues that have had to be put on hold in terms of their development and investment because of the response to a pandemic. So what Leo Varadkar is saying is he wants to prioritise healthcare and prioritise health spend in the years ahead in response to the lessons we've learned through the pandemic, where we have actually found ways, despite all of the pressure, of designing more efficiency into the system, managing waiting list better, okay, managing trolley numbers better.
Are you and your party saying today, then, Minister, that €4 billion, which was supposed to be, I think €2 billion of it was emergency pandemic spending, that won't be taken back off the health service in the budget?
What we're saying is that we have increased the size of our health service in response to a pandemic, and it's the judgment of Fine Gael that we should keep the health service at that size to be able to avoid the kind of pressures that I think we would have experienced over the last 10 years, where we were trying to rebuild a health service after a deep economic recession, where we couldn't afford to spend what we otherwise would have been spending on healthcare. We have been forced by a pandemic to spend a lot of extra money over a very short period of time, which is not sustainable, by the way, in terms of those increases year after year. But what we want to do now is find a way of maintaining the scale that has been created to deal with the pandemic and all the other issues that we face at the same time, to make sure that we provide a health service that people can have faith in and be proud of. In my view, health services through the pandemic period have been nothing short of heroic. The HSE has had to deal with so many challenges at the same time. And if you speak to someone like Paul Reid, he will say that they have learned very significant lessons from that journey and that pressure, and they now want to apply those lessons learned to a larger health service that can ensure that we don't face what we would have faced a number of years ago in terms of waiting lists, trolley numbers and pressure on our hospital system in particular.
Your partners in government, Fianna Fáil, seem to have got a bit of a vaccine boost or a vaccine bonus in the opinion polls, but Fine Gael didn't pick that one up at all. I wonder, do you have a view as to why that might be?
Look, I mean, I don't read too much into one opinion poll. We've had multiple opinion polls since the last general election. Fine Gael has bounced back very strongly from a poor general election result. You can read all sorts of things into the ups and downs of opinion polls, but we've been steadily in the high 20s or early 30s for the last 12 months. For us, the immediate challenges are good governance, managing the end of this pandemic in the months ahead, winning a by-election in Dublin Bay South with a fantastic candidate, James Gagan, and focusing on the challenges and the planning that we need to put in place to make sure that we protect the public, that we get an economy growing again, that we get people back to work. And so there will be ups and downs along the road from an opinion poll perspective, but we're not going to get carried away on the good days, and we're certainly not going to get panicked on the bad days. I mean, if you look at that poll, satisfaction with the government is up significantly. Leo Varadkar is by far the most popular political leader. The strength of support amongst young people in Fine Gael is almost double what it was in the general election. So, you know, there are good numbers there for us, but there are also some challenges. Okay. And I mean, let's not get carried away with one opinion poll.
You mentioned your candidate's name there in the Dublin Bay South by-election. So I have to tell people who all of the other candidates running in the election are. So there's Ivana Bacik in Labour, Lynn Boylan from Sinn Féin, Deirdre Conroy of Fianna Fáil, Sarah Durkin from the Social Democrats, Mairead Tobin, AIM2, Bridget Purcell, People Before Profit, Claire Byrne, Green Party, Manix Flynn, Independent, Justin Barrett from the National Party, Peter Dooley, Independent, and Jackie Gilborn from Renew. So
you sound like you were ready for that one, Justin.
I was indeed. Also, though, in that poll, Minister, it shows that voters' attentions are turning now back to core political issues, away perhaps from the pandemic somewhat towards core issues: health, economy, and housing. And I just wanted to ask you on housing. What's your response to the charge by Piers Doherty this week that your party leader, Leo Varadkar, doesn't get the anger that's out there on housing? Because the Taoiseach pointed out during the week that house prices now are cheaper than they were during the Celtic Tiger era. And I'm just wondering, doesn't that come across as a bit tone deaf given the fact that people are having such difficulty accessing housing at the moment?
Look, I can assure you Fine Gael are not tone deaf on housing. I mean, I'm a former housing minister and I know how essential it is that housing policy works for people, for their families, for young people in particular who are trying to get on the housing ladder, for people who are paying far too much for rent at the moment. But ultimately, this is primarily about a supply issue. Social housing supply, affordable housing supply, cost rental supply, and private housing supply. And what Damien English is saying today in the Fine Gael Ardèche is absolutely right. We need to get onto a place where we can deliver 30,000 housing units or more per year for two decades to deal fundamentally with a problem where people simply cannot afford to buy homes where they want to live. And that means higher density, higher quality, and affordable housing, where the state is interventionist when it needs to be, and we are under the current housing policy. But ultimately, we've got to find a way of building more homes in the right places, properly connected for sustainable urban living, and also allowing people to build homes where they come from. And, you know, Fine Gael will prioritise housing for the remainder of the lifetime of this government, because we do think that housing and healthcare really are the two big issues.
I want to bring in Matt Carty here. Matt, your party colleague Piers Doherty jumped all over those comments in the Dáil this week, accusing the government of being out of touch. But wasn't the Taoiseach just stating a fact that house prices are now lower than they were during the Celtic Tiger era?
Well, I have to say some of the house prices I have seen have been absolutely staggering over the past number of months, the housing situation does have a ring to the Celtic Tiger about it. But I think it just shows that once again, and I think you've heard this in the minister's commentary just now, that the government are simply missing the point. From where we are sitting here in the Dublin Bay South constituency, there are young couples that are paying in excess of €2,000 per month in rent. Those people, for so long as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are directing housing policy, will never be in a situation where they can buy their own home. Unheard of. These are people who are in what would be considered in any other generation to be well-paying jobs, people who can secure their own home for their own family. And this boils down to an entire lack of comprehension in terms of where the source of the housing crisis that we now find ourselves in. And that goes back to the failure of government to invest in housing, invest in social and affordable housing, building public housing on public land and actually providing the supports. What we got instead was a policy that has been a long time in coming in terms of successive generations, but has been intensified for the period the Fine Gael have been in government, which essentially involves the privatisation and outsourcing of housing policy. So rather than building housing, we are now in the process of spending hundreds of millions of euro every year and growing every year in subsidies to private landlords rather than actually developing houses as has been done in previous generations.
Jennifer Whitmore, can I ask you, I mean, what did you make of those comments from the Taoiseach during the week when he pointed out the fact that house prices are substantially lower than the Celtic Tiger era?
I think the Taoiseach and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens really need to talk to people on the ground, because this isn't what people are seeing on the ground. People are facing huge pressures when it comes to renting, to buying their own homes and just being able to afford to live. Issues like childcare are causing enormous stress. And so, you know, we can have these Ardèche speeches and we can have the minister come on here and make all these promises, make all these statements. But the reality is, for the past 10 years, rents have doubled in price. Like, that's what people are seeing on the ground, and that's what they have to live with. So the promises and the statements mean nothing to them because they're not seeing action. And the as Matt said, the government's It's raison d'etre that its entire direction of policy is in relation to outsourcing government responsibility.
Do you want to see those rents? Do you want to see those rents frozen?
That's simply not true, Justin. Sorry, I mean, I
Are you saying it's not true, Minister, that rents have doubled? Because they absolutely have.
No, sorry.
The reason I intervened. 5%.
Sorry, Jennifer. The reason I intervened in terms of what you're saying is when you said that the government is simply outsourcing the housing problem to the private sector. Like, that is completely untrue.
The whole HAP system is based on.
If you could just let me explain why that's not true. If you could let me explain why that's not true. We are now spending over 3 billion euros a year on housing. This is public money investing in public housing,
and
affordable housing,
some of it is
on HAP, because you cannot build 30,000 houses overnight. So what we are doing is, of course, we are relying on subsidising rent for people. But that is because we have got to catch
Justin,
up in terms of
this.
Supply.
I want to ask
the minister, why, minister, is the government so resistant to freezing rents?
Well, we haven't been resistant to it. I mean,
but it hasn't been done.
Sorry, I was the first minister in the history of the state, as a housing minister, to intervene on rental prices, to actually put a cap on what rental inflation could be. And we took a lot of legal advice on that to avoid legal challenge and so on. So it was the Fine Gael government that actually introduced a cap on rent. So just to be clear.
But actually that cap has turned into a target for landlords as opposed to actually reducing prices.
Yeah, and we're looking at that as well. Okay, and during the pandemic period, we have prevented evictions and we've put a cap on any rental increases. So we have been doing what people have been
calling
for.
Justin, the minister had 18 minutes uninterrupted at the beginning of this programme. So I don't think it's actually fair that then he interrupts every speaker
I'm just trying to be accurate, Matt.
Well, you're not being accurate, actually, Minister. And in fact, you're being disingenuous to suggest that the government are committed to freezing rents when the evidence points to the very clear fact that you have opposed every single measure. And those limited measures that you have been forced to deliver, you've done so under intensive political pressure. And if we want to actually see, and I think this is clear to everybody, and I think this is part of the reason why we see the rhetoric from your party in recent days, because there is now a recognition that if you want to change housing policy, then you need to change the parties of government, because Fine Gael are just so out of touch that they do not have the imagination, they do not have the ambition, and they certainly don't have the vision that's required to actually deliver the type of ambitious house building programme that's required.
Do you not see a problem, though, McCarthy, with freezing rents, that perhaps what you're going to end up doing is driving landlords out of the market and you're not going to have rental properties available?
Rent freezes on their own wouldn't work, Justin, and we've always said that rent freezes need to form part of a comprehensive framework in terms of how we deal with housing. And at the core of that, it has to be house building, of course. And at the core of that has to be building public houses on public lands, building houses that people can actually afford. So we have seen
so that's what we're
in
doing,
instances that. And the minister has alluded councillors rejecting housing proposals. Those proposals that have been rejected have been houses that have been built on private lands, being given away in secret in sweetheart deals to private developers. That's not what's required. We need private developers to build on private land, and we encourage and support that. But we need public houses.
Justin,
on
if I could just respond to that,
just briefly, Minister.
The big difference between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin here is that Sinn Féin, their housing policy is solely about building social housing.
It's not.
Nothing else.
It's not.
Of people in Ireland want to be able to afford to buy their own home. They want to buy private housing. Many people who can't afford to buy their own home need the state to intervene in terms of affordable housing schemes, cost rental schemes, and social housing.
Minister, people who want to buy their private homes are currently renting and paying exorbitant rents, and they're receiving
between
no support from your government.
And Fine Gael is we want mixed tenure communities, where everybody can live as neighbours, side by side, regardless of whether they can afford to buy homes or whether they have to rely on the state for social homes.
Instead, what you want to do in Sinn Féin is build acres and acres of social housing. But the reality, Justin, of Fine Gael in government is that those people that the minister is saying Fine Gael want to support are actually locked into a vicious cycle that's becoming more pronounced, whereby they're paying huge sums in terms of rental accommodation. They can't therefore save a deposit. And then when they do get to a point over the last year, many people were able to save some money because of the pandemic and the results of it. And what they've seen is house prices actually increase beyond their means yet again.
Jennifer Whitmore, can I bring you in here? I mean, does the minister have a point where you do need that mix, that those mixed tenure communities?
You absolutely do need a mix. The housing crisis is an issue. It's a jigsaw issue, really. There's a whole lot of solutions to it. And we need to address each of them. But listening to the minister, you wouldn't think he's been in government for 10 years. I mean, this isn't an issue that's just cropped up in the last year. This has been building for years and years. And opposition and the Social Democrats have been calling on the government to change their focus. We have a housing crisis. Everything is upside down in this country. Yeah. We have people living in hotels, and we have hotels and Airbnbs. I mean, the whole system is wrong. So the market is wrong, and bringing in a rent freeze. What we're doing is saying we don't want any further rent increases. The market is already distorted, and there needs to be intervention in it because people cannot survive in the current system.